upper quad laser battery. All four shots missed. I thought the sense nagging at me was just me worrying about Card and Shada.
Well, you can start worrying about us if you'd rather,
Han said, throwing the ship into a spiraling loop.
Whoever these guys are, they're good.
I didn't want to hear that, Leia said, keying the comm. Time to call for help from Packrick Defense. But their attackers were way ahead of her.
They're jamming our transmissions, she told Han grimly. Even the private New Republic frequencies.
Like I said, they're good,
Han grunted, leaning the Falcon into another evasive turn.
You notice they waited until we were too close into the planet to jump to light speed, too?
More laser bolts flashed past. Closer this time. Leia fired another burst in response, again missing.
They're too maneuverable for the targeting linkage down here to handle, she said.
Yeah, I know,
Han said.
I'm heading up to the upper quad. Get ready to take over.
Leia winced. Up there at the top of the ship, with nothing between him and the attacker's lasers except the Falcon's shields and a few centimeters of transparasteel. But he was right. One of them had to do it. And even with her Jedi skills to draw on, she wasn't nearly as good a gunner as he was.
I'm ready, she said, gripping the co-pilot's helm yoke.
The only way to protect him now was to make sure none of those lasers connected.
Any suggestions on strategy?
Just try to keep us out of their sights,
Han said, leaning some more on his yoke. Almost reluctantly, the Falcon pulled out of its loop.
Okay, go,
he said, keying control over to Leia's side and in the same motion sliding out of his seat.
Got it?
Got it,
Leia acknowledged.
Be careful.
Yeah,
Han said, and sprinted out of the cockpit. Leia gave him 5 seconds to get to the ladder, then spun the ship into a dip-and-turn maneuver designed to confuse an attacker into overshooting his target. But their pursuers were too smart to be taken in quite so easily. A glance at the aft display showed they were still there, sticking to the Falcon like starving Minox. Another salvo shot past, this time a few of the bolts spattering off the Falcon's deflector shield.
Okay, I'm here,
Han's voice announced over the comm unit.
How you doing?
Not as well as I'd like, Leia told him. I think they found the range.
Yeah, I noticed. It's okay, she'll hold together. Just keep them off a few more seconds.
I'll try,
Leia said, throwing the ship into another retching evasive pattern and trying desperately to come up with something more concrete than just trying to stay out of their way. But there was just so little here to work with. There was Han and her and the Falcon, with the attackers crowding them from behind and the sky-filling disk of Packrick Minor starting to crowd them from in front.
Packrick Minor? Han, I'm going to take us in toward the planet,
she called into the comlink.
Even with them jamming us, if we can get in close enough, someone ought to notice what's happening and call in an alert.
Sounds good, but be careful. These guys aren't built for atmosphere maneuvers, but neither are we. Ha!
What?
Got one. Didn't slow him down, but I think I took out his shields. Get her moving!
The deadly game continued. Leia pushed the Falcon's sub-like drive for all it was worth, twisting their tortured way toward the growing bulk of Packrick Minor. The hail of laser fire continued, most of it missing, but enough of the shots were connecting to become distinctly worrisome. Already the red indicators on the status boards outnumbered the green, with their number creeping up with every salvo. Unbidden, a memory flashed. Her first ride in the Falcon, as they tore madly away from the Death Star, blasting their way through the TIE fighter sentry line in their bid for escape. But Luke had been with them then, and Chewie and 3PO, and R2, and the Falcon had been younger, less temperamental. Besides which, Vader and Tarkin had in fact wanted them to escape. Abruptly, the memory was shattered by a brilliant flash from above and behind her. Han?
Got him!
Han's voice crowed from the comlink.
One down, two to go. She holding together?
Leia threw a quick look at the status boards.
Yes, but just barely, We've lost the ion flux stabilizers, and we're down to less than half power on the sublight. Looks like another direct hit, and we'll lose the rear deflector, too. Han grunted.
Sounds like it's time to try something clever. You ever done a smuggler's reverse?
Once or twice, Leia said cautiously. But I already tried a dip and turn, and that didn't do any good. They probably know all about smuggler's reverses.
Yeah, but you're not gonna do it like they expect,
Han said.
You're gonna swing the Falcon around like you're bringing her to a hard stop. But instead, you're gonna keep spinning the rest of the way around until you're pointing at the planet again, and then gun her for all she's got. That ought to throw them off guard.
And if it doesn't?
Hang on, I'm not done. You give them a few seconds to hit their drives to catch up, and then you do a straight smuggler's reverse. With any luck, they'll shoot straight past us.
Or ram straight into us, Leia said with a grimace. You ready?
Ready. Do it!
Here goes. Setting her teeth, Leia killed the drive and twisted the Falcon hard over. The stars spun dizzyingly around. She caught a glimpse of the two fighters, braking hard to keep from overshooting their target. The sunlit bulk of Patrick Minor swung back into view, and she threw full power to the drive again, the acceleration pressing her back into her seat. Han?
Perfect,
he reported with grim satisfaction.
Can you give me any more speed?
Sorry, this is it, she told him, checking the displays.
That's okay. It'll do. Get ready. Smuggler's reverse. Now!
Bracing herself, Leia cut power, and once again threw the Falcon into a spin. The attacking fighter swung back into view ahead of her, much closer this time, and framed by the glow of their sublight drives flaring at full power. Killing the rotation, she threw power to the drive. The attackers tried, they really did, but even with their smaller size, they had a fair amount of inertia. And with that much power already committed, there was no possible way for them to stop. With their minds radiating frustration and helpless anger, they shot past the Falcon. Or rather, one of them did. The shock of the impact threw Leia out of her seat, the awful crunching sound from somewhere aft ringing in her ears.
Leia!
Han's voice shouted as the echoing noise was joined by a dozen warbling alarms.
Leia!
I'm all right, Leia called back over the din. Han, we've been hit.
Are we leaking air?
I don't know, Leia stammered, blinking at the proper status board as something tried to obscure her vision. She swiped a hand across her eyes. It seemed to help. No, hull's still intact, but the drive and repulsor lifts...
I'll be down in a minute,
Han cut her off.
Just hold her together.
A blaze of light and color caught the corner of Leia's eyes. She looked up from the controls, startled to see Patrick Minor rotating past in front of her again. The last remaining fighter was framed in the center of the planetary disk, waggling evasively as he tried to kill his speed. But even as he swung back around, Han caught him dead center with a full salvo from the quad. With a brilliant multiple flash of fire, he was gone.
Okay, that does it. I'm on my way, sweetheart.
Leia nodded, swiping a hand across her eyes again and returning her attention to the status boards. The sublight drive was out, but the indicators weren't showing how much actual damage they'd taken. The repulsor lifts were in much the same shape. The doomed fighter must have hit the Falcon's underside and scraped its way back to the stern. Hit off-center, too, the ship was still doing a slow spin. She keyed the auxiliaries to try to straighten them out, noticing only then that the hand she'd swiped across her eyes had a bright streak of blood on it. Stretching out to the force, she probed the injury and set the healing process in motion. And then Han was there, dropping into the pilot seat beside her.
Okay, let's see,
he muttered, keying his own status board. He glanced at her, did a startled double take as he spotted the blood on her forehead.
Leia.
I'm all right. It's just a cut, Leia assured him. What are you going to do about the drive?
Fix it, that's what,
Han grunted, climbing out of the seat again.
And we better do it fast.
He took off at a dead run.
Leia finished adjusting the Falcon's rotation and looked up again and caught her breath. Packrick Minor, which had been uncomfortably large during the battle, now filled the whole section of the sky and was getting closer. The Falcon had been with the two of them all their married life, and with Han even longer than that. And Leia knew it would hurt him terribly to let the ship go, but it was the height of foolishness to hold so closely to any possession that it killed you. Grimacing, she keyed for escape pod activation. Nothing happened. Oh no, she breathed, keying it again and again. No! But the result didn't change. The escape pods were inoperative. And she and Han were trapped in a ruined ship, plummeting toward the ground. Swallowing hard, she keyed the comm. It would be close, but with the jamming now gone, maybe help could get to them in time. But the comm indicator glowed red. One more casualty of the doomed fighter's impact. They were cut off, and all alone. And they were about to die. Leia took a deep breath, stretching out to the Force to silence the fear. Now was no time to panic. Han, the escape pods aren't functional, she called, keeping her voice as steady as possible.
I know, his taut voice came back. I spotted that when I was up there. Try the restart booster.
She found the key, pressed it. Anything?
Not yet, he said. Let me try something else.
You want me to come help you?
No, I need you up there at the controls, Han said. And keep an eye out. If you spot another ship, try firing an emergency signal blast from the quads.
And hope that any such convenient ships weren't running backup for the last group.
Right.
The minutes dragged on. The red lights began to wink tentatively back to green as Han worked, but not enough of them, and not nearly fast enough. A whistling sound, soft at first, but growing ever louder, began to fill the cockpit as the Falcon pushed its way through Packrick Minor's upper atmosphere without the benefit of shields to dampen the sound and the friction. The deep black of space above her began to take on a slight haze as they drove ever deeper, and Leia could feel the temperature slowly edging up. Below her, the planetary features were beginning to take on form. Here a lake, over there a mountain ridge, directly beneath and ahead a wide and fertile valley.
Try the restart again,
Han said into the silence of Leia's thoughts, his voice startling her.
Right!
She keyed the switch, and this time there was a tentative answering rumble from the drive.
All right, easy, Han warned. Don't try to stop us all at once. This jury rig can't handle too much. Just ease in some power and see if you can start slowing us down. And if you've got any Jedi tricks up your sleeve, it's about time to give them a try.
I'm already trying, Leia said, her heart aching within her.
She had been trying. In fact, ever since realizing the full extent of the danger they were in, she tried to contact any Force sensitives in the system, had quieted the distractions in Han's mind so he could concentrate better on his work, had stretched out to the Force looking for guidance or inspiration. But none of it seemed to have helped. And with an almost overpowering sense of helplessness, she knew there was nothing more she could do. She couldn't repair the sublight engines with a wave of her hand, or stop the Falcon's inexorable fall planetward, or call for help where none existed.
We're doomed, 3PO's oft-repeated wail echoed through her mind.
It was just as well he wasn't here, she decided. Or the children, safe on Kashyyyk under Chewbacca's care, or even their Nogri guards. If it was their time to die, there was no need for anyone else to go with them.
Goodbye, Jason, Jaina, Anakin, she thought toward the stars,
knowing that the message would almost certainly not reach them, wishing with a deep regret that she could see them one last time. On the status board, almost lost in the chaos there, the proximity warning began beeping. And to Leia's shock, a small craft roared past overhead.
Han! She shouted. Another ship just...
She broke off, the sudden surge of hope catching like a bone in her throat. The ship had slowed to match speeds with the Falcon, riding above and just ahead of it, and giving her first clear look at it.
A ship?
Han called excitedly.
Where?
Leia took a ragged breath. A second ship had joined the first now, paralleling the Falcon above and to the right. A third had taken up position on the left, and the aft display showed one more flying directly above the sublight vents.
Never mind, she told Han quietly. They're Imperial TIE interceptors.
Chapter 8.
There what?
There was the staccato clank of a set of tools landing on the deck.
Hang on, I'm on my way.
Leia looked up at the ships pacing them. TIE interceptors, all right. In excellent condition, too, from what she could see of them. And she wondered where they could have come from. Surely the Imperials weren't launching an all-out attack on the Packrick system. With the sector conference over and the delegates on their way back to their home systems, there was nothing here they could possibly want. Unless, of course, they were the backup for the first three fighters, in which case they were here to make sure the job was finished. With a screech of boots on hull plates, Han skidded to a halt beside her.
What are they doing?
He panted, peering up at them. Leia frowned.
Nothing,
she said, realizing belatedly just how odd their lack of activity was. To just sit out there and watch them crash seemed overly sadistic, even for Imperials. At least for line soldiers. She'd known some Moffs and Grand Moffs who would have reveled in something like this.
They're maneuvering,
Han said suddenly, pointing.
That one on the left, see? He's drifting out a little.
I see, Leia said. But what's the maneuvering for?
An instant later, she got her answer. In perfect unison, a bright yellow disc connected by a yellow cable shot out from the underside of each of the four TIEs, slamming solidly onto positions on the Falcon's upper hull. The cables went taut, and with a jerk that nearly knocked Han off his feet, the ship's descent abruptly slowed. Leia looked up at Han, saw her own bewilderment mirrored in his face.
I'll be sat on by a hut,
he murmured.
Grappling mags.
He sank into the pilot's chair, looked over at her.
I give up. What's going on?
Leia shook her head.
I don't know,
she said slowly, stretching out with the force.
But there's something about these pilots, Han.
Like what?
I can't tell yet,
Leia said again.
But something very strange.
You're telling me.
He nodded toward the viewport.
Well, whatever it is, we ought to find out about it pretty soon. Looks like we're already coming down.
He was right. They had passed over a line of low hills, and the TIEs had now dropped to barely treetop height. Rolling along beneath them were vast fields of tall grain, the neat rows rippling with the wind of their passage. They passed an access path, more fields, another path, still more fields. At the far side of this set were another collection of hills, taller than the group they'd passed a few kilometers back. And at the base of the tallest of the hills, little more than a dark spot in the hazy afternoon sunlight, was a cave.
Yeah, that's where we're going, all right,
Han said.
Nice and private. Unless whoever owns these fields happens to be out working them. Got a reception committee already waiting, too, I see.
Leia nodded, squinting against the sunlight at the figures standing outside the cave.
I count... looks like 10 of them.
Plus the 4 TIE pilots. Plus whoever else is hanging around inside.
Han agreed, reaching under his control board and retrieving his blaster and holster from the storage niche there.
You have a plan?
Leia asked, eyeing the blaster.
Not really,
Han said as he buckled on the holster.
I'm not going to charge out shooting, if that's what you're worried about. If they wanted us dead, they would have just let us crash.
Maybe they think the children are with us,
Leia said, a shiver of unpleasant memories running through her. After all the times her children had been kidnapped or threatened.
If they do, they're going to be real disappointed,
Han said, his tone deadly. Deliberately, he checked his blaster and shoved it back in the holster.
Aaron did a lot of trouble, too.
He nodded toward her waist.
Almost time for the party, hon. Shouldn't you be getting dressed, too?
Right,
Leia said, pulling her lightsaber out of her board storage compartment and hooking it to her belt. Calming her thoughts, she reached out to the Force for strength and wisdom.
I'm ready.
A minute later, they reached the hills, and directly in front of the cave, as Han had predicted, the TIEs slipped into full repulsor lift mode and eased the Falcon smoothly to the ground. They released the grappling mags and reeled them back in, and with practiced ease, lined up and began maneuvering one by one into the cave.
At least that explains how they showed up from nowhere, Han commented, as he shut down what was left of the Falcon's systems. 3'll get to the hand pod. This is one of Grand Admiral Thrawn's sleeper cells.
I always thought those were just a myth,
Leia said, gazing into the darkness of the cave.
Disinformation the Empire came up with after Thrawn... Well, after we thought he was dead.
I'm still not convinced he isn't,
Han growled, standing up and stepping back toward the door.
No point in putting this off. Let's go see what they want.
One of the reception committee was waiting at the bottom of the ramp as Han unsealed the hatchway. He was a tall man, roughly Han's height and strongly built, with dark eyes and a thick shock of long black hair.
Hello,
he said, nodding as they started down the ramp. His voice was genial enough, but there was a definite tension in his face and stance.
Either of you hurt? Counselor, you're bleeding.
Just a scratch,
Leia assured him, rubbing at the dried blood.
That odd sense she'd felt with the TIE pilots was back again, stronger than ever. It's already mostly healed.
The man nodded, some of his black hair dropping across his eyes with the movement.
Yes, of course. Jedi healing techniques.
Where's the rest of your group?
Han asked, glancing around as they reached the bottom of the ramp.
Checking out your ship,
the man replied, pointing behind them.
Leia turned.
The others they'd seen waiting were walking around under the Falcon, looking and poking as they assessed the damage.
That second call here did a number on you, didn't it?
The first man continued.
You're lucky. If he'd rammed you a little higher up, he'd have taken out your power core and probably breached your hull along with it.
So those were Corlear flagships, huh?
Han said, his tone that of one professional exchanging shop talk with another.
I've heard of them, but never seen one before.
They're not very common,
the man agreed.
But since the Corlear Combine doesn't put serial numbers on any of their models, they're a favorite of people who don't want their identities traced.
Sort of the opposite of TIE interceptors,
Han said pointedly, nodding back toward the cave opening. The man gave him a bittersweet smile.
Something like that,
he said.
My name's Sabmin Devis, by the way. Welcome to Imperial Sleeper Cell, Genth 44.
Nice to be here,
Han said with only a hint of sarcasm.
So what happens now?
We talk,
a voice came from their right. Leia turned. Coming around the side of the Falcon was a man dressed in a TIE pilot's flight suit. About Sabmin's height and build, she noticed, with a shorter version of his same black hair and a well-trimmed beard.
My name's Carib Devist, Counselor Organa Solo,
he said as he crossed towards Sabmin.
I'm sort of the spokesman for this group.
You're Sabmin's brother? Leia asked.
The family resemblance was obvious. Carib smiled faintly.
That's what we tell people,
he said.
Actually,
he stepped to Sabmin's side.
Seeing as you're a Jedi, I don't suppose it'll take you long.
Leia frowned, wondering what he was getting at. The two of them just stood there, watching her, Sabmin's hair rustling in the breeze.
And then, abruptly, it hit her. Sabmin, Carib... She twisted her head.
Behind them, the men who'd been examining the Falcon had come out from under the ship and were standing silently in a row, also watching.
Different clothing, different hairstyles, some with beards or mustaches, here and there a scar, but otherwise identical. Completely identical. Han.
Yeah,
he said. And as she focused on his thoughts, she knew that he'd caught on too.
Brothers, huh?
Carib shrugged uncomfortably.
It sounds better, he said quietly, than clones.
For a long minute, the only sound was the soft hiss of the breeze rustling through the tall grain stalks.
Ah,
Han said at last, his voice studiously casual.
That's nice. So what's it like being a clone?
Carib smiled bitterly. The exact same smile, Leia noted with a private shudder, that Sabmin had shown a minute earlier.
About as you'd expect, he said. It's the sort of secret that gets heavier with time and age.
Yeah,
Han said.
I can imagine.
Carib's face hardened.
Excuse me, Solo, but you can't possibly imagine it. Every time one of us leaves this valley, it's with the knowledge that every outside contact puts our lives and those of our families at risk. The knowledge that all it will take will be one person suddenly looking at us with new eyes, and the whole carefully created soap bubble of the ever-so-close Devis family will collapse into the fire of hatred and rage and murder.
I think you're overstating your case a little, Leia suggested. We're a long way past the devastation of the Clone Wars. The old prejudices aren't nearly so strong anymore.
You think not, Counselor?
Carib countered.
You're a sophisticated woman. A politician and diplomat, fully accustomed to dealing with the whole spectrum of sentient beings. And you're good at it. Yet you, too, are feeling uncomfortable in our presence. Admit it.
Leia sighed.
Perhaps a little, she conceded. But I don't know you as well as your friends and neighbors do.
Carib shook his head.
We have no friends, he said. And if we're a long way past the Clone Wars, we're not nearly so far past Grand Admiral Thrawn's use of soldiers like us in his bid for power.
Is that who you're working for now?
Leia asked, studying Carib's face. There was something disturbingly familiar about him.
The orders have come in over Thrawn's name, Carib said cautiously. But of course you can put any name on any order.
Beside her, Leia felt Han's sense suddenly change.
I got it,
he said with a soft snap of his fingers.
Baron Fell, right?
Baron Soontir Fell?
Leia asked, her stomach tightening with a sudden realization.
Yes, that was who Carib reminded her of. A young Soontir Fell.
Once the Empire's top TIE pilot, Fell had married Wedge Antilles' sister and had been forced to strike a reluctant deal with Rogue Squadron to save his wife after Imperial Intelligence Director Issain Issard sent out to kill her. The rescue had succeeded, but an impeccably laid trap had subsequently snared Fell himself back into Issard's hands. At that point, he disappeared, presumably to a brief trial and a quick execution. Except that all that had happened only a few months after Endor, years before Thrawn had returned from the unknown regions and begun his cloning operation, which left the question. Han got there first.
So how come Fell lived long enough for Thrawn to get the cloning tanks up and running?
He asked. Carib shook his head, a brief flicker of pain crossing his face.
We don't know, he said in a low voice. Our flash learning didn't include any of Fell's personal history. We assume,
he hesitated.
We can only assume that whatever sympathies he might have had toward the New Republic were burned out of him by Issard.
Or by Thrawn?
Han asked.
Or by Thrawn,
Carib agreed heavily.
Otherwise, I doubt Fell would have been thought reliable enough to have clones taken from him, no matter how good a pilot he was.
There was another moment of silence. Leia stretched out with the Force, but if Carib was disturbed by the discussion of wrecked minds, it was masked by the odd clone sense surrounding all of them.
Yet you saved our lives just now,
she reminded him.
Don't give them too much credit on that one,
Han growled.
If they'd left us alone, we would have hit dead center in this valley of theirs.
Do you think their secret could have stood up to all the investigators who would have swarmed over the place?
Yet our secret is now out anyway,
Carib reminded him calmly.
Depending on what you decide to do.
Maybe,
Han said, his hand dropping casually to hover beside his blaster.
Or maybe depending on what you plan to do.
Carib shook his head.
You misunderstand. We have no intention of harming you, nor do we wish to fight for Grand Admiral Thrawn and the Empire.
Han's forehead wrinkled.
So what? You're surrendering?
Not exactly.
Carib seemed to brace himself.
What we want, all that we want, is your word that we'll be left alone here.
Han and Leia exchanged glances.
You want what?
Leia asked.
What? Is that too high a price to pay for saving your lives?
Sabmin demanded.
Considering what you owe us.
Wait a minute,
Han said, holding up a hand.
Let me get this straight. You were created by Thrawn?
A muscle in Carib's cheek twitched, but he nodded.
Correct.
This is Grand Admiral Thrawn we're talking about, right?
Han persisted.
The guy who wants to bring the Empire back? The guy who picked the best and most loyal TIE pilots, AT-AT drivers, and whatever to run his clone tanks?
Carib shook his head again.
You still don't understand. Certainly Baron Fel was loyal to the Empire, or at least what the Empire was before insane butchers like Isard took over. In his era, the Empire stood for stability and order, which you and the New Republic could use a little more of at the moment,
Sabmin put in pointedly.
Let's leave the politics out of this,
Leia put in quickly, before Han could come up with a good retort.
I'm still confused. If Baron Fel was loyal to the Empire, and if you see the need to reestablish that kind of order...
And if Thrawn's really back,
Han muttered.
And if Thrawn's really back,
Leia agreed.
Then why would you want to sit this one out?
Carib smiled sadly.
Because for once, the great Grand Admiral Thrawn miscalculated, he said. There was one thing Fel cherished more than personal glory, or even galactic stability.
He waved a hand around him, the gesture taking in the fields surrounding them.
He loved the soil,
he said quietly.
And so do we.
And finally, Leia understood. She looked at Han.
He's kidding, right?
Her husband asked, his expression and thoughts clearly not believing any of it.
I mean, look, Luke couldn't wait to get off that farm on Tatooine.
Luke was on a moisture farm in the middle of a desert,
Leia reminded him, letting her gaze sweep slowly across the neat rows of tall grain, her own memories of the rich vegetation of Alderaan tugging at her.
It was nothing like this.
You feel it too, don't you?
Carib said softly.
And you understand.
He looked around the fields.
This is our life now, Counselor. Our land and our families are what matter to us. Politics, war, even flying, that's all in the past.
He brought his gaze back.
Do you believe us?
I'd like to,
Leia said.
How far are you willing to go to prove it?
Carib braced himself.
As far as necessary.
Leia nodded and stepped up to him, sensing Han's flicker of uneasiness as she left his side and locked eyes with the young clone. Calming her mind, she stretched out to his mind with the Force. He stood impassively, allowing the probe without flinching, and by the time she stepped back again, she had no more doubts.
He means it, Han,
she confirmed.
They all do.
So that's it, huh?
Han said.
We're just gonna head off and leave him here?
We'll repair your ship first, of course,
Carib said.
The MX droids that handle maintenance on our fighters can probably have it running in a day or two.
To Leia's surprise, Han shook his head.
Not good enough,
he said firmly.
You're asking us to protect an Imperial sabotage group. That's a pretty big risk for us, you know.
The group off to the side stirred.
What are you trying to...
Someone began. Carib silenced him with a gesture, a slight smile tugging at the corners of his mouth.
You always were an operator, Solo, he said dryly. What do you want?
You don't want to fight anymore,
Han said.
That's fine. Neither do we. But if we don't get this Kaamas thing resolved fast, none of us are going to have any choice in the matter.
Your point? Carib asked.
We need to find out which Bothans were involved in the hit on Kaamas,
Han said.
And there's only one place we know we can get those names from.
Carib's lips compressed briefly.
The Empire.
Specifically, the Central Imperial Records Library on Bastion,
Leia said, seeing now where Han was going with this.
The problem is that we don't know where Bastion is.
We don't either,
Sabmin said.
Our orders come from the Ubiquitrate through a special channel. We've never been directly in touch with Bastion or the current Imperial leadership.
Sure, but there must be some way you can get an emergency message to them,
Han said.
Imperial ops procedures can't have slipped that badly.
Carib and Sabmin exchanged glances.
There is a place at the edge of Imperial space where we can go,
Carib said doubtfully.
But it's not supposed to be used unless there's vital information that can't wait for proper channels.
I think we can come up with something that qualifies,
Han said.
If we can, will you take me out there?
Wait a minute,
Leia cut in.
Don't you mean take us out there?
Sorry, Han, said, shaking his head. But if there's one person everyone in the Empire knows by sight, it's you.
Oh, really? Leia countered. You think you're any better?
I wasn't ever president of the New Republic,
Han pointed out.
Besides, one of us has to go.
Why?
Leia demanded, a dull ache around her heart. Han had done a lot of crazy things in his life, but walking into the heart of the Empire was beyond even his old smuggler's rashness.
The New Republic has other people they could send.
Yeah, but which ones can we trust?
Han asked.
Besides, we don't have time to go back and hunt up a team. The whole New Republic's balanced on a blade edge right now.
But you can't go alone, Leia insisted. And don't forget, I'm a Jedi. Any trouble you get into...
We've got company,
one of the clothes announced suddenly, pointing. Leia looked. Just clearing the distant hills, a low-flying craft was burning through the air toward them.
Carib, you'd better get the others into the cave,
she told him, running through her Jedi sensory enhancement techniques and squinting at the approaching vehicle.
Better yet, you'd better all go. That looks like our Nogri guard's cross-shuttle.
Too late,
Carib said, his eyes on the approaching vehicle as he gestured the others to stay where they were.
If there are Nogri in there, they already have us under surveillance. Trying to slip out of sight now would just make things worse.
The shuttle was almost to them, skimming low over the tall grain and showing no sign of stopping. Han made an unintelligible noise in the back of his throat, and even Leia felt a twinge of uncertainty. It looked like a cross shuttle, but at the speed it was making, that was impossible to confirm. If it was instead a follow-up attack... And then, at almost the last second, the craft braked hard, coming to a mid-air halt. A short gray figure dropped out of the passenger side door, and the shuttle shot off again, swinging high over the cave and hills before circling back toward the group gathered around the Falcon.
Khonsa,
Barkimk said gravely, recovering his balance quickly after his 3-meter drop and marching toward them. He had no visible weapons, but with a Nogri that didn't mean a lot.
The Vakrik defense monitor said that a ship had come under attack and surmised it was yours. We are pleased to find you uninjured.
Thank you, Barkimk,
Leia said, keeping her voice as gravely unemotional as his. What he really wanted to do, she knew, was to express his deep shame and self-loathing that he and Sakasak hadn't been there to help protect them from the attack. But he would never reveal even a hint of such feelings in front of strangers.
We appreciate your concern, she added, as you see, we were able to land safely among friends.
Yes,
the Nogri said, his eyes measuring the group with a single well-trained glance.
I presume you will now be...
His voice faltered just slightly.
Returning with us?
An almost undetectable slip, but for Leia it was enough.
No, it's all right,
she said quickly, taking a step toward Carib.
They're not going to hurt us.
You do not understand,
Bark Kimp snarled. There was contempt suddenly in his voice, and a blaster just as suddenly in his hand.
They are Imperial clones.
They're clones, yes, Leia said, but they're on our side now.
Bark Kimp spat.
They are Imperials.
So were the Nogri ones,
Carib said quietly. Bark Kimp's blaster twitched toward him, his large black eyes flashing. Any mention of their long servitude to the Empire by outsiders was considered a deadly insult.
No,
Leia said firmly, reaching out with the Force to turn the blaster muzzle aside.
They saved our lives, and they've asked for sanctuary.
You may trust them as you choose, Counselor,
Bark Kimp said darkly.
But I do not.
But nevertheless, the blaster disappeared.
There was an urgent transmission from Coruscant for you shortly after you departed Pakrak Major,
the Nogri said, waving a stand-down signal toward his partner in the circling shuttle.
Did you receive it?
No,
Leia said, frowning. She hadn't realized the Nogri were able to tap into their private communications.
It probably came in while we were being jammed. Did you get a copy?
Shaka-Shak will bring it,
Bark Kimsk said, nodding his head fractionally toward the shuttle now landing off to the side.
We, of course, did not attempt to decrypt it.
Which didn't necessarily mean they couldn't do so if they'd wanted to.
Have him bring it to the Falcon, please,
she instructed.
I'll go get the decrypt ready. You wait here with Han and help Carib and the others get repairs organized.
10 minutes later, seated at the Falcon's game table as Sakasak stood watchful guard between her and the hatchway, she slid the data card into her data pad. The message was short and very much to the point. Leia, this is General Bell Iblis. I have just received some vital information and urgently need to talk to you. Please stay on Pakrak Minor. I'll be arriving there in 3 days and will meet you at the North Barriss spaceport. Please treat this communication with the utmost security. Leia frowned, the skin on the back of her neck tingling. What in the worlds could Bell Iblis have found that he would need to come all the way out here? And why her, of all people? There was the clank of boots on metal, and she looked up to see Han stride past Sakasak.
Looks pretty straightforward, I guess,
he reported, sliding into the seat beside her.
The head droid thinks they can have her back together in a couple of days. So what's this big important message?
Wordlessly, Leia handed over the data pad. Han read it, his forehead wrinkling as he did so.
This is interesting, he declared, setting down the data pad. How did Bell Iblis know we were here?
Gaverson must have told him,
Leia said.
He's the only one who knew we were coming to Pakrak Minor after the conference was over.
Yeah, well, those 3 Corlears knew it, too,
Han said pointedly, swiveling the data pad around to look at the message again.
How sure are you that this is really from Bell Iblis?
About as sure as it's possible to be,
Leia said.
It has his signature code, plus the bridge break confirmation.
That's what, that crypt-embedded code trick Kent came up with a couple of months ago?
That's the one,
Leia said.
I don't think the Imperials even know the codes are in there, let alone have a way to access or duplicate them.
Unless Ghent was using the same trick back when he was still working for Card,
Han mused, rubbing his chin.
Could be the Imperials picked up on it then.
No, Belibliss asked him that when he first proposed the technique, Leia said. Gent said it was something he just developed.
Han read the message again.
No idea what this is about?
None, Leia said. I guess we'll find out in a couple of days.
Well, you'll find out anyway,
Han said.
Carib and I'll be long gone by then.
Leia took a deep breath, the ache returning abruptly to her chest. Han.
No argument, hun,
Han said quietly, reaching over to take her hand.
I don't like it either. But if we don't get this stopped, everything's gonna go up in smoke. You know that better than I do.
We don't know that,
Leia argued.
We've got the New Republic government and Luke's Jedi students to help hold things together. If it comes to civil war, we can force the Bothans to pay whatever reparations are necessary, even if it winds up wrecking their economy.
You really think the Dai Imala will let Gavrisim force them into that kind of self-destruction?
Han countered.
Not to mention the Mon Cals, the Sif Krees, and whoever else has lined up on the Bothan side since yesterday. Come on. We didn't win the war with wishful thinking.
Well, then what about Card?
Leia asked, trying one last time.
What about him?
Han asked.
Just because he's gone out looking for a copy of the Ka-Mas document doesn't mean he's going to find it. Matter of fact, he didn't seem too confident about it himself. If he had, he would have asked for half the payment up front.
Leia glared at him. I'm being serious.
So am I,
Han said, squeezing her hand.
You think I want to go walking into the middle of the Empire? Look, you can talk all you want about holding things together, but if the New Republic blows, you and Gavrisim and all the Jedi and Luke's school aren't going to be able to put it back together. And if that happens, what kind of life are Jason and Jaina and Anakin going to have? Or Chewie's cubs? Or Kraken's grandkids? Or anyone else? I don't like it any better than you do, but it's gotta be done.
Leia took a deep breath, stretching out to the Force. No, she didn't like it at all. But at the same time, paradoxically, it somehow felt right. Not pleasant, certainly not safe, but right. You aren't going alone, are you? She sighed. I mean, someone besides Carib?
Yeah, I've got someone in mind,
Han said, his voice an odd mixture of relief and regret. Relief, she suspected, because his Jedi wife wasn't going to insist he not go. Regret, for exactly the same reason. Leia managed to smile.
Lando?
How'd you guess?
Han said, managing an answering smile.
Yeah, him and a couple others.
He half turned to look at Sakasak.
Not you, in case you were going to ask.
I would advise you reconsider,
Sakasak said.
A Nokri guard disguised as your slaves could be unobtrusive, even on an Imperial world.
His eyes flicked to Leia.
We have already failed you twice, Lady Vader. First on Batawee, and now here. We could not endure the shame and disgrace of a third such failure.
Disgrace isn't gonna matter much if you get us picked up 10 steps off the ramp,
Han pointed out.
Sorry, but Lando and me can do this ourselves. You just keep an eye on Leia, all right?
Do not fear,
Sakasak said, a dark menace in his voice.
We will.
Under the table, Leia caught Han's hand.
So much for our little vacation, she said,
forcing a smile that probably looked as unconvincing as it felt. The look that flickered across Han's face made her wish she hadn't said that.
I'm sorry, Leia,
he said in a low voice.
We never seem to get a break from all this, do we?
Not very often,
she agreed with a sigh.
If I'd realized at the beginning how much all of this was going to cost, I don't know.
I do, Han said. He'd have died on Alderaan. Palpatine would still be running the Empire, and I'd still be shipping spice for slime tails like Jabba.
All that by itself makes it worth it.
You're right,
Leia said, feeling slightly ashamed of her moment of self-pity.
When were you and Carib planning to leave?
Well, let's see,
Han said, consideringly, an unexpected glint of roguishness touching the somber tone of his emotions.
I've got to get a transmission across to Lando, and Carib's got to roll their freighter out and run a check on it. And he's a family man, too, so he's going to need time to say goodbye to his wife and kids. So let's say, tomorrow morning.
Translation? He told Carib they weren't leaving till morning, with whatever excuses he'd needed to make it stick.
Thank you,
she said, quietly squeezing his hand and trying the smile again. It felt much better this time.
It's not what I was looking for, Han said, but I guess it's better than nothing.
Much better, she assured him. But do you think all these crises can wait an extra night?
I don't know,
Han said, sliding out of his seat and offering her his arm in one of those old royal Alderaanian gestures he too rarely used.
But I guess they'll have to.
Chapter 9. Outside the curved transparasteel canopy came one last burst of bubbles from the blue-veined rock formation rising from the ocean floor. As if that had been a signal, the blaze lights illuminating the area began to dim. The quiet buzz of conversation in the observation gallery stopped in anticipation. Standing against the back wall, Lando Calrissian smiled in some private anticipation of his own. When he and Tendra Rassant had first proposed this undersea mining operation, her family had been less than enthusiastic. But they had been openly critical of his idea to add an observation gallery so that paying customers could watch. Ridiculous, they had said. No one pays good money to watch miners mining. Even aquatic miners in the admittedly unusual locale of the Varn ocean floor. But Lando had insisted, and Tendra had backed him up, and the family's financiers had grudgingly forked over the extra money, which made it that much more of a pleasure to watch the packed galleries like this one waiting eagerly for the show. The blaze lights finished their fade, leaving the rock formation just barely visible as a dark shape against the slightly lighter seawater around it. Someone in the gallery murmured to a friend, and suddenly there was a single point of blue-green fire at one edge of the rock. The point grew rapidly, becoming a line, and then a pair of branches, and finally an arachnid web of light as the blue veins of Fracca ignited and burned. And then the sheets of yellow bubbles appeared, as the heat of the burning Fracca set off the tertian beneath it. And for perhaps the next 30 seconds, the entire formation was surrounded by a twisting fury of fire and light, like a living creature writhing in the silent agony of its death throes. And with a shower of multicolored sparks and one final flurry of bubbles, the formation collapsed into a pile of rocks. Someone gasped, and as the sparks and bubbles faded and the blaze lights began to come up again, there was a ripple of spontaneous applause. The gallery's own lights came back, and with a buzz of excited conversation, the audience began their exit back to the casino areas. Lando waited by the door as they filed out, smiling, accepting compliments, answering a scattering of questions covering the usual range of intelligent to banal. And as the last two Duros filed out, he reset the doorway for general admission. The miners were scheduled to collapse one more ore formation today, but until that time, the gallery would be open, free of charge, to anyone who wanted to come in and watch. He was just starting down the corridor toward the Trallis room when his comlink beeped. Pulling it out, he thumbed it on.
Calrissian.
Transmission coming in on the surface, Link,
the voice of Chief Command Officer Donnerwin announced.
It's encrypted and marked private.
I'll take it in my office,
Lando told him, keying off the comlink and changing direction. Tendra, perhaps, calling to say she'd wrapped up her Corellian trip and was heading back to join him. Or maybe it was Senator Myotomia, or another Diamolan official, with news about the security arrangements he was hoping to make with them for his ore shipments. Either one would be welcome. Reaching his office, he sealed the door, dropped into his desk chair, and with twice the anticipation those gamblers back in the gallery had shown, he keyed the comm. It wasn't Tendra. It wasn't even Myotomia.
"Hi, Lando,"
Han said, an all-too-familiar half-smile on his face.
"How are things going?"
"A lot better 2 minutes ago than they are now," Lando told him, the anticipating popping like a bubble and settling into the pit of his stomach like a bad feeling.
"I know that look. What do you want?"
"I need you to go on a little trip with me. Can you get away for a few days?"
The feeling in Lando's stomach got a little colder.
"No, who me's? No, what makes you think I want somethings?"
No banter of any sort. Whatever was going on, Han was deadly serious about it.
"That depends," he hedged. "How dangerous is this little trip likely to be?"
Again, there should have been some banter. There wasn't.
"Could be pretty risky. Could be worse than that."
Lando grimaced.
"Han, look, you have to understand."
"I need you, Lando. We're on a tight schedule and I need someone I can trust. You've got the expertise I need. You know the people I need, and there's no one else I can get."
"Han, I've got responsibilities here," Lando said. "I've got a business to run."
"Card had a business to run, too. He's not going to like it if you say no."
Lando shook his head in resignation. No, Card certainly wouldn't be happy if he passed on this. Not after Lando had single-handedly talked him into heading out to the Cathal sector to try to get an intact copy of the Ka-Mas document from the mysterious Georges Cardass. Whose ties to Card Lando still didn't understand. But that wasn't the point. The point was that Card hadn't wanted to confront Cardass, but he'd gone anyway. Now Han was calling the pot hand, and Lando was about 20 points shy of a 23.
"No red," he said. "But only because of Card. Where and when?"
"Right now. You have the Lady Luck there?"
"On the surface, yes," Lando told him. "I could take the next shuttle up and be there half an hour later. Who are these other people you said we need?"
"Your old admin pal, Lobot, for one,"
Han said.
"And that Verpine he was working with for a while. What was his name?"
"Mogid,"
Lando said, feeling his eyes narrowing.
"And this isn't what I think it is it?"
"It's probably worse. Lobot and Mogid still running that little slicer trick you once told me about?"
"I don't know if they still are," Lando said with a sigh. "But I'm sure they still can. You haven't by any chance located..."
He hesitated. Even with the transmission encrypted, he didn't want to say the name aloud. Obviously, neither did Han.
"You mean the place we talked about at the Orowood?"
the other said obliquely.
"I think so, yeah. Get Lobot and Mogid, and meet me 2 systems coreward from where you didn't have any choice."
Lando smiled tightly.
"They arrived right before you did."
The words echoed accusingly through his memory, as clearly as if it had happened yesterday.
"I had no choice. I'm sorry."
"I'm sorry, too,"
Han had replied, as he and Leia, a squad of stormtroopers behind them, had walked forward into the private dining room on Cloud City to face Darth Vader.
"2 systems coreward it is," he confirmed.
"I'll be waiting."
The transmission ended. Lando leaned back in his seat, gazing unseeingly at the blank display.
"The place we talked about at the Orowood."
They talked about several different places at that clandestine meeting. But only one of them could have gotten Han this riled up. Bastion, the latest site of the oft-moved Imperial capital, its location and name of its host planet, hand-sealed secrets. Probably one of the best defended worlds in the galaxy. Certainly the central focus of Imperial power. Most definitely a place where the names Han Solo and Lando Calrissian